WashingTech.
We think that Section 230 needs to be kept while still finding ways to address specific concerns around maybe how to moderate better or how to protect against illegal action.
Welcome to the WashingTech Tech Policy Podcast. We deliver the latest tech policy news and brightest tech policy experts to you.
Wherever you are, so you can stay productive, relevant, and informed in less time.
From Washington, D.C., it's the WashingTech Tech Policy Podcast with Joe Miller.
Google asks employees to avoid discussions about politics. Steve Bannon announces a new film critical of Huawei. And Chris Lewis is my guest on the show today. Hey, everybody. Google updated its internal community guidelines for all employees last week, in which the company urged workers to avoid raging discussions about politics. The key tenets of the new policy are to be responsible, helpful, and thoughtful. Policy change came in the wake of several instances in which Googlers called out the company publicly to protest Google's alleged suppression of conservative voices and its controversial payout to Andy Rubin, who was accused of sexual harassment but left the company with a hefty severance package anyway. Former Trump strategist Steve Bannon announced in a press release last week that he would soon release a new film that's critical of Huawei, the Chinese tech company the Trump administration has accused of collusion with the Chinese government to spy on and steal trade secrets from U.S. firms. Run by a radical cadre of the Chinese Communist Party, the press release states, China's communism today is the greatest existential threat the West has ever faced, end quote. The Trump administration has banned Huawei from doing business with the federal government. Trump extended by 90 days a similar deadline for U.S. companies to stop doing business with Huawei. In fact, he hereby ordered them to stop doing business with Huawei. But Bannon's announcement comes as Trump has been under fire for undermining the U.S. economy via its trade war with China. Signals from the Bureau of Labor Statistics that point to slowing job growth and an investor exodus away from long-term treasury bonds. Republican Representative John Ratcliffe and Democratic Representative Adam Schiff both praised and called attention to the threat of Chinese interference with the 2020 U.S. presidential election. Ratcliffe urged Google and Facebook to view China's removal of content posted by pro-democracy Hong Kong protesters as a trial run of what could happen in 2020 if China targets the U.S. Schiff applauded Twitter and Facebook for acting quickly to remove hundreds of accounts linked to the Chinese government that garnered over 100,000 followers. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has renewed its surveillance contract with Palantir, the software company founded by Peter Thiel, the outspoken tech sector conservative who also serves as an advisor to President Trump. Tech companies and immigration groups have blasted the administration for working with Palantir, which helps ICE track immigrants. The Hill values the contract at around $49 million. Finally, a new study by the American Psychological Association found that voters may form false memories from fake news stories, especially if the stories conform to their existing beliefs. The research was performed in Ireland, but researchers expect that there would be similar results in the U.S. And you can find links to all these stories in the show notes and also in our Twitter feed, and our handle is at WashingTech. Stay with us.
Policy is global policy. This is the WashingTech Tech Policy Podcast, serving the world.
My guest today is Chris Lewis, President and CEO. Public knowledge, prior to becoming elevated to President and CEO, Chris served as PK's Vice President from 2012 to 2019, where he led the organization's day-to-day advocacy and political strategy on Capitol Hill and at government agencies. Prior to joining Public Knowledge, Chris worked in the Federal Communications Commission Office of Legislative Affairs, including as its deputy director. He's a former Senate staffer for the late Ted Kennedy and has over 18 years of political organizing and advocacy experience. Chris graduated from Harvard with a bachelor's in government and lives in Alexandria, where he continues to volunteer and advocate on local civic issues. Please welcome Chris Lewis. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me, Joe.
So first of all, congratulations on your new position.
Hey, I really appreciate it. I'm grateful for the opportunity to follow two mentors, Gene Kimmelman and our founder at Public Knowledge, Gigi Sohn. Both of them invested in the next generation of tech policy advocates. So this change at the top of our leadership at Public Knowledge is really part of their vision as much as mine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they're both really great, really inspiring leaders. I've admired them for many years. So what three or four policy areas will be at the top of PK's agenda once Congress is back in session next week?
Well, you know, it's an exciting time to be involved with tech policy right now because technology is in everything and it's touching everyone's lives. So, you know, on our radar screen, we're very focused on platform competition issues and accountability issues. So that covers a number of things from, antitrust discussions around dominant digital platforms, as well as some content moderation issues. Of course, net neutrality is a second issue that's really big for us, and we're waiting to hear back from the court on that. I know you'll want to talk more about it. Number three, I would say privacy continues to be a hot topic with Congress. That's across the entire technology ecosystem, and all stakeholders I think are working really hard to try to get a comprehensive privacy bill. We've been working on it all year. It may go into the next year, even the next Congress, but it's a big ticket item that takes a lot of work, a lot of negotiating. And then little known issues in copyright. We do copyright and intellectual property at Public Knowledge, and those are still moving. So there's a copyright small claims bill called the CASE Act that we're concerned about, that we think needs to be reworked and reformed so that it works for low-income folks. And also the potential conversation around the ASCAP BMI music licensing regime and whether or not that is anti-competitive and whether or not the consent decree around that needs to be removed or if the protections that we support need to stay in place. So lots going on.
Yeah, there is a lot going on. And I just saw an article the other day about artists on Spotify feeling like they're not getting paid enough. And I started to stop sharing music on Spotify, but then I said, well, that doesn't help. So what are going to be some of your recommendations there? Is that going to be going back to some of those principles from SOPA and PIPA, or are those even relevant at this point?
Yeah, thankfully, we've moved away and we stepped away from the SOPA and PIPA conversation where I think folks were trying to get at copyright concerns at the wrong part of the internet ecosystem. They were getting at it more at the infrastructure layer and the DNS layer, which really is where the web browsing systems work. But instead, now the debate lately has been around whether artists are being compensated fairly, whether the regime around how the revenue is split for online services like Spotify and Pandora is fair. The Music Modernization Act, went a long way to try and settle some of that. And now the implementation of that act, which passed last year, is going on. And, we're just watching that closely to make sure that small artists are treated fairly, just like the big artists that have the big record contracts.
So turning to the issue of litigating against the tech sector versus crafting new legislation, and Harold Feld joined me recently to talk about his new ebook. But what are your thoughts here? How much do we need to modify Section 230, for example? What's the right approach, and how is the debate evolving here?
The debate is heated right now, and Harold's book. Our argument is that we need less heat and more light on the conversation. That there are real concerns about content moderation that are being raised. How do we deal with hate speech and violent extremism online? That's important, but we want to make sure that the First Amendment and free expression is balanced out with those concerns. And Section 230 really allows, it's the law that allows you know, big platforms to moderate their content. It's what allows them to do it without, you know, a large liability concern, you know, the risk of being sued out of existence because someone doesn't like how they moderate. And so we think that Section 230 needs to be kept while still finding ways to address specific concerns around maybe how to moderate better or how to protect against illegal actions like, you know, the SESTA FOSTA bill attempted to do. We don't like how they did it, but at least they were trying to address a specific harm.
So now, where do we stand? You mentioned net neutrality briefly. Where do we stand with that?
We're in a bit of a waiting mode. You know, we had oral arguments early this year, and the challenge to the repeal of the FCC's strong net neutrality rules from 2015, and public knowledge and Mozilla and a number of people, some of our other public interest allies, are part of that lawsuit. So every Tuesday and Friday, we wait when the D.C. Circuit puts out its new decisions. Every Tuesday and Friday morning, we wait to see if we're on the list. And one of these Tuesday and Fridays, we're going to get a decision from the court. We're confident that it'll be one that overturns the repeal. Even if that doesn't happen, or if it does happen, you know, we've been pushing for this bill in Congress that I know you're familiar with, the Save the Internet Act. Save the Internet Act passed the House and would end the ping pong match here in regulatory policy and settle net neutrality rules for good. And we'd love to see the Senate pass that as well.
So what's coming up for public knowledge and tech policymakers? You know, what's on the calendar and what should we be paying attention to?
Well, in September, we have our annual IP3 Awards that Public Knowledge hosts. We really hope folks will come out if you're in the Washington area. You know, go online and buy a ticket, you know, publicknowledge.org. And you can go to our events page and find the IP3 Awards. We're excited to honor four great folks, but I think the biggest name is Congressman Mike Doyle, who championed that net neutrality bill, the Save the Internet Act. So we always have a good time. We'd love to see people there. You know, I think there are a lot, you know, I've named a few issues. I think there are a lot of things that folks are talking about because of the 2020 election. So we've heard a number of different plans around broadband deployment getting pushed out by the candidates. That's great news because we never saw an infrastructure bill from the Congress and President Trump this year, which had promised to put new money into building out broadband to those who don't have it. So, you know, I think, you know, folks paying attention to digital divide concerns or just the cost of broadband will want to see that conversation move forward. And we'd love to find ways to get more people involved with it over the next few months.
Well, Chris, it's been great having you on the show as always. Thanks so much for joining me. When we come back, we'll do the icebreaker, get your career hack and your pick for our book this week. So this week's icebreaker, what's one career you wish you could have?
Well, Joe, I'm kind of living the dream. I love doing politics and policy, but you may know that my first love was basketball. I grew up as a coach's kid. So if I could have done it better, I would have been a little bit better at basketball and played a little bit longer in my life.
I would have been an airline pilot. But then cool. Given how the industry's going, I don't know if that would have been the right move. But that would have been... I was really passionate. I was used to do the flight simulators and all that kind of stuff. But I used to set up my sister's dolls as the passengers and then pretend I was the pilot. And it was pretty insane. Cool. Anyway.
I was just talking to somebody.
It's also weird.
I was just talking to somebody who works at SpaceX and I was like, oh, were you one of those people who like wanted to go to space camp and be an astronaut?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Space camp would have been nice, man. I lobbied on that one. What's the best piece of career advice you've ever received?
A mentor of mine told me to, you know, really dive deep into the content and try to be an expert in something, you know, find a policy area and sit with it and just work hard in that policy area. And that's what tech policy has been for me the last decade. And then they also said, you know, make sure you continue to build your writing skills. That being able to write well is underrated. So I think that's great advice.
Yeah, there's, I saw a quote by one jazz musician recently. He said, I'm trying to remember who it was. He said that there's fun in seriousness. You know, I think a lot of times we think about being serious as sort of being drudgery and not much fun at all. But he said there's fun in seriousness. And that's something that sort of resonated with me the other day when I saw that. What are you reading these days?
I just started reading the book called The 26 Words That Created the Internet by Jeff Kossoff. This is about Section 230. And anyone who is trying to learn and understand what that debate is about should read that book. He does a great job of explaining it. So
I'll have to check that out. I'm still on Homo Deus by Yuval Noah Harari, which is fantastic. I hope you
I don't know this book.
Yeah, if you haven't read it, man, it's phenomenal. It's critical to the AI conversation. It really gives a sense of what you know where we were and how far we've come and where we're going. So definitely recommend that. Well, thanks again, Chris, for joining me. What are some final ideas you'd like to leave with the audience before we close, and where can we find you online?
Well, folks can follow us online. We're active on social media. So Public Knowledge, at Public Knowledge is our Twitter handle, or you can follow me at Chris_J_Lewis on Twitter, and visit our website. You know, you can find out about all the things we're working on, whether it's our blog, our upcoming IP3 awards. We hope folks will sign up there to join us on the 26th of September. It's always a great event. And, you know, we love being on great podcasts like yours. So we hope you have us back and, you can check out all the media we're on our website.
There are no shows like this show. Let's just get
Excuse
that straight.
Me. Yes. Well, shows like yours and the inferior other.
There we go. There we go.
We'll take them all, but we like being on yours.
Well, you've been listening to Chris Lewis, President and CEO of Public Knowledge. Chris, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Joe.
That concludes episode 198 of the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. If you like what we do, we'd love to hear from you. Please take a moment, head over to Apple Podcasts, give it a review. It helps others know what they can expect from the show and really helps us out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you back here next week. Take care.
Washing Tech.